Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. And I welcome you here this morning. I'm so glad you came to spend your morning with us and with each other. And if you are new today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you joined us today. Welcome. And so let's start the service by reading our mission statement that's on the front of your bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we're giving ourselves the opportunity to feel and sense and know and remember that, yes, we are individualized expressions of that one infinite presence, infinite power. We are incarnations of love and peace and wholeness and good, that we can never be separate or apart from that source of all things because it expresses as all things. So that means then that what is the nature of spirit, the nature of the divine, is our own divine nature. That means that we cannot be separate then from intelligence or order or peace or love or good because it is innate to our being. So what happens is as we wake up to that fact that we are spiritual beings here having a human experience as incarnations of that one, that then when the world is not being kind or caring or generous or peaceful, we aren't as reliant on the world to be that for us because we can tap into that within ourselves. And so as we then anchor into our own peace and bring that forward, or our own love and bring that forward, we transform our relationships, we transform the conversations we're having, we transform whatever it is that we are involved in. And because everything is connected to everything else, we are part of this collective whole of humanity, what we do contributes to that whole. And so as we act from peace or love or kindness or generosity, that acts as ripples on the pond and affects the whole because everything's connected to everything else. And so I thank every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be being a beneficial presence in this world, and to be expressing your own spirit in a way that only you can do. So thank you for that. You know, as human beings, whether we are aware of it or not, we all want to matter. And not just do we want to matter, but we also want to be feel like we are living our purpose as we live this life, like we are living with purpose. And so that takes on a myriad of forms for all different people in this world, from things like people choosing careers that they feel like are going to make a difference, from being a teacher to being someone who fixes cars, to being a stay-at-home mom raising children so that they will be good citizens and good people in this world. That need to matter and to be contributing and living with purpose also causes us to do things like volunteer and donate money and support organizations that are doing good in the world, like the Red Cross, or homeless shelters, or even the humane society that takes care of animals. And the more we are awake to our own spirit and to our own spirituality, the greater that desire becomes inside of us to contribute to the good of the world, to contribute to the upliftment of humanity. And what happens when we do that, not only do we contribute to the whole and to the good and to the upliftment of humanity, but it also uplifts us and it uplifts our lives when we're doing that. And when we find in the world and it seems like the world is filled with strife and difficulty, like problems of homelessness that we're having in this country, or recovering from a worldwide pandemic, or this polarized political situation that we are living in, it becomes even more important for us to be able to see beyond our own ego perspective and to see something more. To be able to look beyond our ego perspective of us versus them. To be able to look beyond that ego's perspective that says we must fight for our survival. And instead, to be able to see through the eyes of truth, of capital T truth. Meher Baba, who was a spiritual master, Indian guru, who was called the Awakener, said, "It is characteristic of the ego that it takes all that is unimportant as important, and all that is important as unimportant." Boy, isn't that true? Our ego thinks that status and class are of such importance. Our ego thinks that political party or ethnicity or wealth or someone's opinions are of the utmost importance in this world. And those things, through the ego's perspective, become the defining factor of someone's value and someone's worth. They become the defining factor in our ego's eyes of someone's lovability or someone's deservability. And when we are only looking through that ego perspective, what happens is we forget the perspective of our spirit. We forget that we are all part of this one human family. We forget about the truth that this one human family is part of the oneness of life itself. That ego's perspective causes us to forget the love that we are. It causes us to forget that love is our own spiritual nature. And because we are spiritual beings, as spiritual beings, we long to live in that felt sense of oneness. Oneness with the whole and oneness with each other. Because when we are in that place of oneness, we are in a place of inclusion. And we are in a place of love. And that's where our soul longs to live. That's where our spirit longs to live. And so one of the problems, the things that causes us from living from that spiritual perspective and from our heart and from the love that we are, is our childhood conditioning. Childhood conditioning and our cultural conditioning of the culture that we live in. We have been what Dom Miguel Ruiz calls domesticated. And so that domestication has caused us to believe that some people are more valuable than other people. And that some people deserve more than other people. Or that some people are more lovable than other people. Or that some people are more deserving of our love. Or our kindness. Or our generosity. We have also been conditioned to believe maybe that some people are to be feared. We have more generalized conditioning that says maybe there isn't enough, or there isn't enough to go around, or that some people are just out to get you. Or how about this one? If you give people an inch, they'll take a mile. My next door neighbor says that out loud. That kind of thinking causes us to put up walls. It causes us to put up the walls which keep us from experiencing our connection with everyone. Keeps us from experiencing our connection with this family of humanity. And it keeps us from expressing the love that we are. Stephen Covey says, "I am not a product of my circumstances. I am a product of my decisions." We can decide to do something different. So the solution from my perspective then is to make the decision to see beyond our ego's perspective. To make the decision to live from the truth of oneness. It calls for us to make the decision to be love, regardless of what they are doing. To be love regardless of what is happening out there. To be love regardless of what our ego judges and what opinions our ego has. And so I'd like to share a story with you. This actually comes from the commencement address by Admiral William H. McRaven, 9th Commander of the U.S. Special Operations Command at the University of Texas at Austin, May 2014. He says, the ninth week of SEAL training is referred to as Hell Week. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day in the mudflats. The mudflats are an area between San Diego and Tijuana where the water runs off to create the Tijuana Sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of Hell Week that you paddle down to the mudflats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive the freezing cold mud, the howling winds, the incessant pressure from the instructors to quit. As the sun begins to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some egregious infraction of the rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man until there was nothing visible but their heads. The instructor told us that we could leave the mud if, only if, 5 men would quit. Just 5 men and we could get out of the oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. It was still 8 hours until the sun was to come up. 8 more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and the shivering moans of the trainees were so loud it was hard to hear anything. And then one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. One voice became two, and two became three, and before long, the whole class was singing. We knew that if one man could rise above the misery, then others could as well. The instructors threatened us with more time in the mud if we kept up the singing, but the singing persisted. And somehow, the mud seemed a little warmer, and the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. If I've learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope, the power of one person, Washington, Lincoln, King, Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan named Malala can change the world by giving hope. So if you want to change the world, start singing when you're up to your neck in mud. That means not to give up being the light when life is difficult. It means not giving up being the light when people are ugly. It means not giving up on being the light when things are hard. Instead, what we do is we buckle down and we recommit ourselves to being the light, to being the love that is our essential nature, and to living from the truth of oneness. And so the title of my talk today is A Proliferation of Arms. And I'm talking about these arms. I'm talking about the arms of us and the arms of humanity. I'm talking about when we see through the perspective of truth, through the perspective of the oneness of humanity, and then we live from the love that we are, that vibration uplifts and heals. That vibration uplifts and heals us and those around us, and it raises the vibration of the whole. Thich Nhat Hanh said, when you're around a group of people, Although you want to be yourself, you are consuming their ways. The way we make decisions, our likes and dislikes, depend on the collective way of seeing things. You may not see something as beautiful, but if many people think it is beautiful, then slowly you become to accept it as beautiful. Because individual consciousness is made up of collective consciousnesses. That's why selecting the people you're around is very important. It's important to surround yourself with people who have loving kindness, understanding, compassion, because day and night we are influenced by the collective consciousness. That's one of the reasons we come here, to be in this collective consciousness, because it helps raise us up, which in turn helps us move out into the world with a higher vibration, being more love. So what happens is, as we spend time in here, we go out and we share that vibration with the world. And being the light that we are and shining our light in the world causes other people to remember their light. When we are out in the world and we share our love, it reminds other people of the love that is in them. When we're out in the world and we come from kindness, it reminds others of their kindness. When we are in the world and we act from compassion, it reminds others of their compassion. Do you remember that I've talked about how there are so many studies that show when someone acts with kindness out in the world, that it affects the person who is giving the kindness, and it affects the person who is receiving the kindness, and studies show even more, it affects the person who witnesses the kindness. It changes how they behave in the world. Our energy and our actions affect the collective. And so I have another story to share with you. It says there was a very wealthy man who was bothered by severe eye pain. He consulted many physicians and was being treated by several. He did not stop consulting a galaxy of medical experts. He consumed heavy loads of drugs and underwent hundreds of injections. But the ache persisted with more vigor than before. At last, a monk who was supposed to be an expert in treating such patients was called for by the suffering man. The monk understood his problem and said that for some time he should concentrate only on green colors and not let his eyes fall on anything that was not green. It was a strange prescription, but he was desperate, and so he decided to try it. The millionaire got together a group of painters and purchased barrels of green paint and directed that every object his eye was likely to fall on to be painted green, just as the monk had directed. When the monk came to visit him a few days later, the millionaire's servants ran with buckets of green paint and poured it on him since he was in red dress, lest their master see any color that would create an ache in his eye and let it come back. Hearing this, the monk laughed and said, "If you had only purchased a pair of green spectacles worth just a few dollars, you could have saved these walls and trees and pots and all the other articles, and you could have saved yourself a large fortune. You cannot paint the world green. Let us change our vision, and the world will change accordingly. It is foolish to shape the world. Let us shape ourselves first." We cannot change what's going on out there by force or by will or even by hope or by wishing. We change the world by changing consciousness. And we begin by changing our consciousness. That means something like moving from fear and judgment to being the change we wish to see in the world. A Course in Miracles says, what you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. You know, and that means to me that if you see people as undeserving out there, you're going to also see yourself as undeserving. Maybe not all the time, but some of the time. If you see people out there as unlovable, you're going to see yourself as unlovable. If you see people out there as the enemy, you will become more combative and more oppositional to those people, to people in general. If you see everyone out there as family, you are going to become more inclusive. And if you see people out there as deserving of your love, you are going to become more loving and more lovable. And so I have two exercises for you to do this week. One is, when you find yourself telling yourself a story about whatever it is, because you know, that happens 24 hours a day, as long as we're awake, we're telling ourselves stories about how things are and why they are and who they are and where they are, and we're making up stories about everything. To ask yourself, is the story that I'm telling myself right now healing? Is the story that I'm telling myself right now healing? Is the story that I'm telling myself right now, does it create more love? Does the story that I'm telling myself raise my vibration? Does the story I'm telling myself raise the vibration of the whole? And if not, can instead you tell yourself some truth, the truth with a capital T, the truth that is unchanging, the truth that is eternal? Something maybe like, you know what? This person right here that I'm making up the story about is on an eternal pathway. They're on an eternal pathway of growth and evolution and self-discovery. Can you tell yourself a truth, something like, you know what? This person has everything within them that they need to flourish and to thrive. Can you tell yourself, when you aren't seeing it, good lives within them? Because it does. What happens then is, rather than fighting the current conditions, what it is currently is you are creating space in consciousness for something else to come forward. You're creating a space within your consciousness, which means in the consciousness, the collective, for something different than what you've been judging to come forward. And then the second, and that is actually on your invitations. I wrote those things out for you so you can remember what they are, because how could you remember? I know that. The second thing for you to do this week is, when you find yourself judging another person's perspective, try compassionate listening. That means to listen with your heart rather than from your position, or rather than defending your position. Can you listen with your heart? It means listening with wonder rather than to win an argument. It means listening with curiosity rather than the need to be right. And see, when you do that, if your perspective shifts. See, when you do that, if you don't move from your head to your heart. If you don't move from your ego to your spirit. Notice if that creates an energy that is healing. And so I'm going to close with a story. You may have heard about the aspen tree that is in Utah. It says what looks like 47,000 separate trees spread over 106 acres in Utah. They're actually the offshoot of one single massive aspen tree root. Each, quote, individual tree forms a part of an enormous root system. In fact, the aspen is the largest living organism in the world. However, the giant redwood trees are the most massive individual trees on Earth. The redwood, which can grow 275 feet tall, has remarkably shallow roots, only 5 or 6 feet deep. It seems to violate the laws of physics that they can stay upright for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. That is, until you know one more fact about redwoods. Redwoods grow in thick groves because their shallow roots are intertwined. And over time, they fuse together and grow. The aspen and the redwood trees are almost perfect metaphors for the Buddhist belief that the, quote, self is actually an illusion. We are all intertwined. Buddhist thinking goes, and our individual lives are simply manifestations of a more holistic life force. So my invitation to you this week is to remember who you are. To live from the love that you are, and to live from the light that is expressing as you. And when you find yourself in judgment, to ask yourself, is this healing? Does this create greater love in the world? Does this raise my vibration and in turn the vibration of the whole? To practice compassionate listening, to listen from your heart rather than your position, to listen with wonder rather than the need to win, to listen with curiosity rather than the need to be right. And in turn, we will be creating a proliferation of arms. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of self-discovery, discovering your own divine nature and bringing that into the world in a way that is a blessing to everyone and in a way that is beneficial. Thank you for that. And so I invite you to join me in recognizing and knowing the truth, a greater truth than the one that we see with our human eyes as we move through the world. So I invite you to join me in aligning with that truth. And so what I recognize and know is that there is only one presence, one power, one life, one beingness, one energy, one love, one goodness. And it is this thing we call life. It is this thing that is known by many names: life, spirit, the infinite one, Christ consciousness, Buddha mind, the universe. It is all called by many names, but all the same thing. And today, I recognize that we are living and moving and having our beingness in this presence, in this light. For it is everywhere present. Every single moment in time, every single spot, every single place. There is not a place where this presence is not. And so today, we recognize that it is within us. And that it expresses within us as love and as peace, as wholeness and power and intelligence, that it guides us and directs us into our best and most fulfilling lives, that we are here on this planet as incarnations of that one and bringing that light into the world in a way that blesses us and in a way that blesses all of those we come in contact with. For we are here today sharing our light and sharing our love for we have been called to be on purpose. And that is our purpose. And so I speak this word also about every other person in this world, recognizing that right where they are is also this same presence, this presence of love and peace, perfection and power and wisdom, and that it is guiding the choices of each and every person right now. I speak this word specifically for our politicians and politicians across this world, for world leaders and everyone who is making decisions that affect the many, recognizing that that intelligence of spirit, the intelligence of the universe, is expressing itself in their minds and through their minds as decisions that are good for the whole of humanity. I recognize that we are all part of that one, and there is something within each of one of them that knows that they are one with the whole. And that leads and guides their choices. And I know greater than any of it is the power of love. And so today, we align with love. We recognize love is in every single person, in every single moment, and we invite that forward. And in our recognition of it, we create greater space in this world for it to show up. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself all around us, simply because we have placed our attention on it, and simply because it is the truth. And so we just rest in that. And I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is.
It's now time for our affirmation. So if you would join me as we read this together. I now act as the love that I am. I practice open-hearted listening. I listen from my heart rather than my position. I listen with wonder rather than to win an argument. I listen out of curiosity rather than the need to be right. I create a proliferation of arms. And so it is.
So I really only have really one real invitation for you is we are having a pancake breakfast combination with outreach. We're going to do cards for guys that are in the military and for some shelters on July 30th. It's going to be Chris Braunschweiger and Peggy Toole's house. I don't think we made a sign-up sheet. We'll have a sign-up sheet next week, but I want you to put it on your calendar for the 30th. It costs us $20, and we're going to have pancakes and eggs and sausage and fruit and lots of stuff, so it'll be fun, and we'll hang out and visit each other. The other invitations are just to follow us on our social media accounts. We are posting things now on Instagram to check out our Instagram account and follow us and check in on Meetup and say that you're coming, because I think I looked yesterday and there's only four of us coming to church today. And, you know, people don't want to come when they think there's going to be four people there. And our videos, the talks are posted on YouTube and land in your inbox if you are on our mailing list, the videos from the Sunday service on Monday afternoon. That's it. So I invite you to repeat after me. Good fills my life now.
Good fills my life now.
I step into it.
I step into it.
I own it.
I own it.
I celebrate it.
I celebrate it.
And so it is.
So it is.